The psychology and importance of education. Are you a salesperson or a teacher? We've already done part of this before, but understand this concept that you can be a salesperson if you want, or you can be a teacher. But before I get into this topic, I want to say that the biggest problem we have over here is you're going to get a lot of information, right? Yes. Okay, and you're going to go back and do what?
Spin your
wheels, okay, that's actually the right answer. As I said, everything is engineered. Everyone is being told what to say at the right time so that we get it right on the recording. So, what I'd like you to do in the very next break is I'd like you to pick a buddy. Why do you need to pick a buddy? Because after this workshop, after these 3 days, we're going to have 3 sessions over the telephone. Teleconference. I want to know why your buddy doesn't show up to those teleconference sessions, because a lot of this is going to go in your head and it's going to sit there and it's going to be a little intense. So you need to have these 3 sessions where you ask questions and you get things resolved and you can move on with your business. So I need to know who your buddy is. Everyone needs to have a buddy that you're responsible to and who's responsible to you. And basically you start to communicate what you're doing. We're also going to have a forum where you can start to implement whatever you are doing, the questions you have, etc. This is about getting you off the ground and into that autopilot. It's not about you sitting here and getting all these great new concepts and saying, wow, wow, wow. That's not the whole purpose. The purpose is to get you off the ground. So, are we all going to get off the ground?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. The psychology of education. Are you a salesperson or a teacher?
Teacher.
You were a salesperson yesterday. What happened?
Got smarter.
We know the importance of education.
Okay, I'm going to drive it home. I'm going to drive this home to you in a second. How much would you pay for this violin? We've done this thing before, so I'll give you $50. $50. Who wants to go higher than 50?
Depends on Stradivarius, yeah.
We always get some smart person in the room.
75.
75. See that? That's better. 75. Who wants to go higher than 75?
100.
100.
200. 300. 375.
How much would you pay?
Only for Stradivarius.
How much would you pay?
10 grand.
10 grand. She says 10 grand for a Strad. Okay, for a Strad, okay, she would pay 10 grand.
Is it Chinese or what?
Yeah, it's a pretty expensive violin, okay? She said it's a Stradivarius, and we'll accept that it is that. So 10 grand, who wants to go above 10 grand? You don't have to pay, by the way. This is a dummy auction, so don't be scared.
$100,000.
It is a Stradivarius.
Well, if it's a Stradivarius, $1.5 million.
A what?
We do know that for a fact.
We know that for a fact now, because she was the one who came up with it, and as I said, there's always someone that comes up.
I know what other ones sold for, and then I would start bidding there.
Yeah, we still don't know.
Okay, but let's just, for the heck of it right now, someone said how much, 15 grand, 100 grand? Are we going to go above 100 grand, or are we going to stop now? Okay, there's always another smart one. It's sold for £947,500. So that's 947, 6 numbers. So the pound is more than the dollar, as you know. £947,500. If you took it down the street and offered it to 20 people, they'd pay you $50, if you were lucky. The difference is the education. The difference is knowing what is being given to you. So if I gave you a car and I said you needed to buy this car and this car cost $75,000 or $200,000, would you buy a car worth $200,000?
Depends on the car.
But what if I told you that there are only 6 cars like that in the world? The price goes up. The problem that we have in all our businesses is we do not do enough education about. We do not bring value. We do not bring value to the table. And that's why, how much would you pay for this Chinese teapot?
$175,000.
How much?
$175,000.
$175,000. Who wants to go above that?
We're talking millions. That's amazing.
She says millions. Millions. So let's say 17 million, 5 million. What are we?
You want to go garage sailing with me?
One of my friends bought a Picasso at a garage sale.
How much?
He bought a Picasso at a garage sale.
Okay. But how much? We're talking about this teapot right now. How much would you pay for the teapot?
$3.
He's right. He's bang on. See, I'm trying to set you up. I'm trying to set you up on purpose. $3, that's how much it is. It's a fake.
Oh, really?
It's a fake. You cannot tell what something is by the way it looks. Your customer cannot tell the value of who you are by the way you look or the way you present yourself. There is only one way to do that, and that is through education. And I've done this before. You know, we'll stand up in a... Actually... The best thing is to do this live. And so, Stu, you want to volunteer? I'll just ask you a couple of questions, okay? Now, who knows anything about Stu's, what he does? And you know a bit, okay? It's okay, so...
Wheels, we keep calling them wheels.
Wheels.
Shivs. That's spelled as S-H-E...
A-V-E-S.
Okay. Okay. Now tell me, why is it so important? I mean, why can't we go and buy what we have from somebody else? What's the difference between you and somebody else in terms of these products that you have?
Okay. The proper shiv design. Let's talk about a crane, is one application. All right?
Okay.
Proper shiv design will give you 5 to 7 times the life out of the wire rope.
Okay.
All right, which is far more expensive than the shiv.
Okay. So how much did the wire rope cost?
We're talking thousands of dollars,
and
including your machine, your crane is out of commission, all those, while you're restringing all the cables.
Okay. And the shiv is more economical than that?
Yeah, a shiv is probably $1,000.
Okay, and how much money would someone lose if they didn't have the right shivs in place?
I don't have a hard number for that at the moment, but I've got to get that.
Okay, what's a ballpark figure?
If you've got to change the wire and half the steel cable and half the length, it's probably going to cost you $10,000-$15,000 unnecessarily.
Okay. What is that per day?
Plus downtime.
Okay. Now what we're going to do is people are going to ask him, is it per day? Is it per day? How much?
No, that might be over a 1 year period.
Okay.
You have to replace the cable twice instead of once.
Ted.
What happens if the cable breaks because of the wear? It causes some damage. You have a huge lawsuit.
What happens if the cable breaks?
Oh, that could be a big one. That could cost you millions. You've seen these news stories where a crane has fallen over.
Kills people.
Yes.
And that could cause you a lawsuit. You could possibly.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
What
happens if the operators were like crane is down for a week? How is he compensated to keep his bills paid?
What if the operator is down for a week?
Yeah.
Is that what he's?
Operator, yeah.
Yeah.
The operator is not the guy that buys the shiv or the cable, so yeah, but he's out of business.
Most cranes aren't owned, they're rented, correct? So you have that rental income.
No, the rental company, that's right, yes, the rental.
You have the rental income that's going out, and how long, well, the question is, how long does it take to restring a crane, I think is what everybody's trying to ask.
You have to hire a specialist.
Yeah, it could take you 2 or 3 days.
Okay, and it's what, about $1,000 an hour for a crane?
Depending on the crane, right. It could be $1,000 a day, it could be several thousand an hour, depending on the crane.
Okay, what I'm trying to, you know, this is Stu does is a pretty specialist thing. I mean, most of us didn't even know what it was, what he was talking about when he got into the room, and already you're starting to see all these questions. And this is what the customer has but doesn't want to ask and doesn't think of asking. So I'm just going to go across to... Thank you for that. Give him a hand. I'm going to go across to Sid, and Sid's going to tell you something about... No, sorry, it's to Steve. Steve, and he's going to talk about search engines. And basically, a lot of us know about search engines, so this is a more general topic. Now, what do you want to ask Steve about search engines? What's the biggest goof-up that people make with search engines? Okay, by the way, if Steve charged you about 50% more than anybody else, would you go to him? So... Right. No, no, just if there was A and Steve, and you didn't know A from Steve,
no.
You know,
no.
Would you pay him 50%? Okay, we'll see whether that perception changes. Steve, what's the biggest mistake that most people make with search engines? How do you hire a search engine optimization, and, you know, how can you go completely wrong with hiring someone?
Well, first off, I don't do the work. I've hired people that are much better than me at that. So... There's a lot of mistakes you can make,
okay.
And you know, the first mistake is not having relevant content in your website, and you go out and you spend, you know, $100 to have someone automatically submit your site to search engines, and you don't get any results, and they're very good at selling themselves at that.
Okay.
Search engine optimization is something that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money, a lot of research. And we used to give away a free analysis report, and we were giving away, you know, 10 analysis reports every month, and maybe selling one every 3 months. When we started charging for those analysis reports, putting a value on it, we started doing more every month.
Okay.
We also started closing just about every sale.
You're also you're actually going away from the point. The point is they want to buy your search engine optimization at 50% more. Now, you've got to convince them. And how are you going to convince them is the question. The question is, you're pitching. You don't do the search engine stuff, but you definitely go out there and sell it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know why should I go to you? What's the difference? What are the things that go so horribly wrong? What's the big deal about research?
If you knew the exact phrase that people type into the search engine to find your competitors, would you be interested in stealing clients away from your competitors? We can tell you exactly what your customers are typing into the search engines, how often they're doing it, and how many competitors you have for those keywords. Is that knowledge worth anything to you? And for most people, it's worth a lot. And that's really what we're selling. We're selling very good research. Based on the research, we've determined different directions that businesses should go in optimizing their site, or different products that they should be selling.
Okay. Now what we're going to do is we're going to grill this guy. Any questions you have on search engines, ask him right now. Go for it.
Do you have any more research than your competitors?
Do you have any more research than your competitors? What do you know that they don't know?
Big thing with search engines, a lot of people aren't very strategic when they get into search engines. And especially when you're dealing with bigger companies, they aren't that nimble. I think we talked about it earlier, that, you know, small companies, we're very nimble and we can turn on a dime. We did some optimizing for a company that specializes in selling John Deere toys. I don't know how many people know how to spell deer in this room.
Grew up in Nebraska.
Okay. Not many people know how to spell it online. It's actually, it's searched more often misspelled than it is searched spelled correctly. So we're getting, that's one of the directions we looked at.
So what he's saying to you is that somehow, because of the research that they've done, they've actually found a way that you could spell your company wrong, like, you know how many people spell psychotactics wrong? You know, how many people put PH to start with at psychotactics, okay? So what he's saying is they do extensive research. How long does this research last?
For some companies, for a John Deere company, it's lasted a long time.
What's a long time?
They've got terrific results for over a year.
They've got results. How long has the research lasted?
The research has lasted A year.
A year.
It's worked well. For other clients, you know, we're going in, we're doing research every month. We are constantly tweaking the results they get. And these are clients that the market's very competitive, and once they start doing something right, their customers figure out what they're doing right, and they do it.
Okay.
They start copying.
Steve wants a question.
What's the difference in the click-through? What's the difference in click-through rates on a site that comes up in the top search result and one that comes up at the bottom of the page or the search result?
What's the difference between the click-through rates on something that comes at the top of the search results and the bottom of the search results?
Or on the same page.
On the same page.
Same page.
You know what's happening here? The specifics are letting Steve down. The education, Steve's actually struggling a bit, and it's okay. I sprung it on him. But when you get to a point where you have very specific, thanks for that, Steve. That was a brave effort for someone that just got stronger. Okay? It's okay. It's not, I'm trying to make a point, and that's why I'm springing it on you guys, because what you think is that you have a very good understanding of your business. Well, you do, but you don't. You don't know the specifics. If you start to give me very specific information of how it will help me, like for instance, what we did in New Zealand, this friend of mine, Stuart, he has a coffee franchise. Now, the coffee franchise is called Esquires. So, Stuart, we started off with the coffee, the same way I said to you. So I said, Starbucks costs $4 and Stuart is going to charge you $5. Who's going to pay for it? No one has heard of this brand. It's from Canada.
Canada coffee.
Canada coffee, okay? Now, coffee says coffee. So Canada, it's nobody has heard of this brand. Why would you pay $1 more for the same coffee? And people said they will not pay. Everyone in the room said they will not pay unless they knew the reason. Why? Okay, so I started to ask Stuart. So Stuart stood up and I said, Stuart, what kind of machine do you use? What? See, you have systems and procedures and things in your office, in your company, that you don't think are important. Stuart has been concentrating on the coffee. I'm asking about the machine. What's the machine got to do with the coffee? The answer is everything. Everything. So he starts to tell me about the machine, and I say, how much does the machine cost? Because I'm just, you know, like doing one of these interviews on TV, because just anything comes to my head, I'm going to ask him. So I say, how much does the machine cost? He says, $6,000. Okay. What's in the machine? Is it made of gold? And he says, no, but it's close to that. So I say, how much does a normal coffee machine cost? How much do you think a normal coffee machine in the cafe cost? $2,000? $1,500? So why are you paying $6,000 for a machine when you can get it for $1,500? Then he starts to explain about the machine and how it gets the coffee really fresh. He talks about how all the coffee in normal cafes sit there, ground for a while, and then it starts to deteriorate. He then tells me about the fact that the coffee in his coffee machine is never more than 30 seconds old. It's 30 seconds fresh. So that's, and they measure, the machine actually measures out the exact amount that is needed for your coffee and creates just that much coffee, and that's why it's so expensive. Then we start talking about the beans. And where do you get your beans from, Stuart? And he says, oh, we roast those beans in-house just at that point, just that day, or that, I don't know, an hour before. I can't quote him exactly, but this is what he said. I said, what do the other guys do? They ship their beans. From where? From Australia to New Zealand. Now their coffee, their $4 coffee, is not looking as good as your $5 coffee. But notice what the questions were based on. The questions were based on the grinding, the machine, the process. People are interested in things that you have no interest to you. that you think have no interest to them. They're more interested in the background than they are interested in the product itself. The product comes, it's as a result of all that background information, they are then interested in the product. So what you've got to do is you've got to start educating them. The more you start educating them about the processes and the information. So if you're a consultant, where's the machine? Where is the machine? It's in your brain. What is the education that has gone? So once you start to give them, and I'll just show you as we go through looking at your marketing material. So you give them certain information, and at the end you build the value with your education. So you tell them that I went to this university and studied this thing for 30 years. That's what makes me different. And you start to explain your process. Are you getting me? Are you? Yeah.
According to sales concepts that we've been taught forever, you're speaking blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Okay.
Okay? You don't ever talk about yourself. It's always what's in it for you.
Okay. Good. Good question. Good question. And so the question was from Kathy, which was total blasphemy, and so I shall be struck down by lightning. And
no.
Just let me... Okay. So when do you speak about yourself? Who... Do you notice how some of you came up to me and said, tell me something about you? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Why would you want to know? I mean, you're here for who?
For
yourselves. You're those selfish people that Claude Hopkins... So what do you want to know about me?
Trust.
Possibly. But the point is, where does the about us go? So let's... Because we're here and because we're doing this education thing, we might as well pick up Jim's piece because I promised that I would rip it apart. And he's happy to be ripped apart, or rather the copy apart. So Jim's starts off with our mission. And he says, the Newman Consulting Group assists clients in creating a superior workplace that enhances the health, comfort, and productivity of the building occupants while reducing... Or I am falling asleep. You know why? Because he's not doing an education. How would Jim do an education? Come on, let's have some people. So what does Jim do? He is an engineering and business consultant. What would be the story?
Testimonial.
No, where would the story start? What is the biggest?
Problem.
The biggest problem. So Jim, what would be the biggest problem for industrial or environmental building consultants? Go on the mic.
For the consultant or for the people?
Okay,
for
so how, which? Yeah, okay. Let me actually help Jim because, you know, this springing things on people, it's not a good thing. One of these days someone's going to go after me. Okay? So here is a good example. I'll pass this down. This is how you want to have your brochure. It's a search engine strategy company. I don't personally recommend them because they're pretty arrogant and obnoxious, but they've got a great brochure. Something that you can copy from. See, this is what Jim says is our mission, how we accomplish our mission, who we are and what we can do for you, and other stuff. Nothing wrong with it. It just gets too much about him and not about me. And you said it was blasphemous. Well, this company, on the other hand, has on the last page, talk to us. Before that, all the pages are about. The first page says perfect visibility, getting the right people to your website. First page, if you build it, they won't necessarily come. Notice the problem. There are graphs here that show you that they won't come. Okay, how many people turn up from where? How internet users find websites. Then they give you more graphs. The integrated marketing pyramid. Then they talk about the why search engines? Why do you need search engines in the first place? Then they talk about what is a search engine strategy. Then they talk about search phrases to find business companies. Then they talk about a full search engine strategy service. What does that mean? And then they get to our approach rests on four pillars. And even there, they're educating you. They're saying, one, strategy beats firefighting, which is the best time to develop a search engine strategy is before you submit your website, but it's never too late. I'm not endorsing this. I'm just saying this is what they have written. Two, integrated marketing wins. So it's not just one system. You have to use different systems. 3, measurement is king. Once your website is live, you have to measure it. How do you measure it? 4, debt, taxes, and market changes. Okay? So they're educating you. Then they go to the next step. Now they're starting to close the sale, and they say, day 1 to 2, this is what we do. Day 2 to 3, this is what we do. So day 1, we identify your site's target audience. Day 2, we confirm your site's purpose and objectives. Day 3 to 5, we research your marketplace. Are you getting some trust in these guys that they know what they're doing? Yeah. So what do you have to do? Every one of you have a system in your brain. You know, and then they come to the last one, which is about us. So I'll pass this around. Have a look at it at your leisure. Be sure to give it back because it's the only copy I have. The point I'm trying to make is very simple. All of us have this process factor in our brain. We just don't document it in a way that it's meant for the other person so that they can understand why they should buy from us. We don't educate them about search engines, why search engines, what is the process we use, how we go about it. They want to know all that information before they think about you. Yes?
What's your $6,000
fee? Essentially what Steve is saying is you're creating the problem. What you're doing, and this is what a book does, what education does, is it creates problems. The more educated you are, if you noticed, the more books you read, the more you realize what? The more you don't know. So the more you educate your client, what does that mean? That they start to realize how little they know. And so you've got to educate them all the time. And how you educate them, that's a good copy. That's a good example of how you educate them. We'll just get the mic to you. Where's the mic?
Right here.
All of you should somehow get to that book and have a good look at it, make little notes if you need to, and change the title for your business.
What I was going to say is, as a copywriter, one of the ways you convince your clients that you can actually deliver the results is if you can reveal the process by which you get there. It gives people confidence because they think, if you just say, yeah, I can put you in the top 10 results of the search engine results, then in the first page of the search engine results, that sounds good, and they may be like, okay, that's interesting, but if you say, I can do this, and here's how we do it, bang, you've got them. They're sold. You don't have to do anything else because they see that you have a process and you can get them there because you know what you're doing. And that's where the about us comes in. You have to give them the problem first, tell them how you're going to solve it, and then tell them why you are the person that can solve it because you have the process that can solve it. And that's a big step that I see all the time on websites that people miss out. They give all the platitudes. They say, yeah, we're wonderful. Trust us. But they don't give you a reason to trust them. And that's where the $6,000 coffee machine comes in.
A what? Okay. Good question. As you're going through this book, you'll see that these pictures make absolutely no sense. Okay? Because this was done by a graphic designer. There we go again.
Who had no process?
It's just filling in space. Okay. And the good point to be made there, when you put a graphic, what do you put right under it?
Caption.
Caption. If you've got a graphic without a caption, you're not making a point. So if you've got a random graphic and it's not saying anything, well, it's a completely useless thing. Graphics and text have their purpose. Everything has a purpose. So, if.
I know what they're trying to do. It's all about traffic.
Yeah, they're talking about traffic, but it's just.
It's like
it needs to have specific graphics. And if you look in the brain audit, you know, you'll start to see under each graphic, it's a cartoon, but you can see a line below it, and it explains what it's all about. So, client education. Why education is so powerful? We've demonstrated here. Why it is so powerful, and you're missing out all those processes that in your business. How do you educate? You educate by giving them the details, like that book. If you need to write down the subheads of that book, that's a very good book. But you'll find loads of them out there, or not loads, you'll find a small amount of them out there that will do the same thing. When do you educate? All the time. Do you notice what we do through the website? We educate. How are we going to sell to those 1,700 people? By education. We're not making a pitch. First we educate, then we sell. And who do you educate? Your customers. So let me give you a few examples. This Merrill Lynch advertisement ran a long time ago, and somewhere in the 1940s, 30s, 40s. That's the last century. It was a full page. The first week, it was what everyone needs to know about the stock and bond business. And about us, which is unlike most of the ads that he saw yesterday, is right down here. It says Merrill Lynch something, something, and something. And it says, if you would like a little copy of this booklet, please write to us. That's about it. The rest of it said, you know, how to buy and sell securities. And they filled all this information of how to buy stocks and bonds. So 4,000 responses in the first week. Is that good?
Yeah.
5,000 by the end of the year. 5,033 to be exact. 10,000 responses overall. So what happened after that was basically people stopped counting at 10,000. People walk into Merrill Lynch and say, how dare you not give me that book? Everybody's got a book about me. Have you noticed what happened there? With that education, people started demanding to be educated. And you've got to get to that status where they'd start to demand that you give them the information. Like people, when we were giving them the 16-week class, they said, where's my MP3 file? Where's my PDF file? Some of you must have done it. I know your names. I know where you live. I've got your phone number. You want to...
How often did they run it?
One time.
One time. Just one time. They ran the ad just one time. You notice other websites like Motley Fool, and they educate you about stocks and shares. Sometimes the information can be a little overwhelming. You want to start focusing on one thing and then get them into more things. And we're restructuring our website, our information, so it's one thing that we focus on because people are getting too much information, and you really want to cut down on that information. This is what David Ogilvy did, or O&M did, and they turned out to be one of the largest agencies in the world. You cannot see the text, and that's on purpose. You can only see the headlines, and you can barely see the headlines because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to read it for you. So how to educate your customers? They ran these six ads, and their competition said, you are nuts. This is a gimmick. So what were the six ads? The first headline said, how to create, and these are full-page ads in the New York Times size, how to create corporate advertising gets results. And they put in little pictures, and they put in all this text, full page. How to launch new products. How to make your sales promotions more profitable. And they put in all the pictures and the underline. How much should you spend on advertising? They put in graphs. They put in all this information. How to advertise travel. How to create food advertising that sells. And their competitor said, you are stupid. You are completely nuts. You have given away all your secrets. But what have they given away?
Education.
The idea. The education, but they've given the idea of how to launch new products. And they've given it in great detail. And guess what the clients thought?
They thought it rocked.
They were experts.
Yeah. Yeah. The clients thought they were experts. If they can give away so much information, then how much would they have in their brains? So the education is what caused people. So what happens to a company as soon as they find something that works?
They stop using it.
They do sales pitches. They go out there and meet. And that's the whole problem. I'm stressing this because this is what you'll do. As soon as it starts to work, you'll stop using it. Why? Because our ego takes over. We are the... What is it?
We are the world.
I am the world. So start a university.
What is your process?
Okay. All of you guys can start your own Harvard University or Michigan University or whatever. Why a university? Look at it logically. We'll cover it in sequential marketing. sequential selling, you'll see that basically, to give you in a very short format, a customer comes in at kindergarten. Right? And then they go to first grade. Second, do you notice that schools seem to have business all the time? How do they do that? Technically, if you look at your business as a university and you could start to educate your customers through phase by phase by phase by phase, then you know, then the next batch of customers come in and the next batch. But by the time one customer has gone through 10 grades or 12 grades or whatever system you have here, that's a lot. So start that university. Start your own university. Just put your name there and start it. Okay? So, anyone else has any marketing material? Anyone else got any marketing material? Peggy's got something, and you've got something. Okay. Bills just keep adding up. These are postcards?
Yeah.
These are postcards. Bills just keep adding up. Wish you had more time to spend with the kids or friends. Okay. That's a good one. And it says bill payment service. Whether you don't, so that's got a nice problem out there. Whether you don't have time to pay your bills or you need help budgeting your bills, we are here to help. The we comes in too quickly. So here's how we need to construct something. Whenever you construct a message, the first thing you need to remember is that you're a teacher first, then a salesperson. You need to say buy now, but you need to say it right at the bottom of the heap. Because people will educate you. So you bring out the problem first, which is the general problem. Okay? So you bring out the problem right at the top, and you say, if you don't pay your bills on time, this is what happens. And you start to tell them exactly what happens. Then you give them the general solution. Now, there are two paths to a solution. One is the general solution, and then there is a specific solution. So the general solution is, if you don't pay your bills on time, this is what's going to happen to you, and this is how it's going to, the penalty that you're going to pay, etc. Then is your specific solution, which is the reason why they should choose you. So they can choose anyone. So it's problem, solution, and then specific solution, your specific solution. So don't jump in too quickly with your company. Give them a solution. So if Stephanie, and she runs dance classes, then you say, if you get on the dance floor and you make a fool of yourself, you never want to get up again. You feel you can never dance, and you know all these women are there, and you're sitting there like a dope sitting on the chair, or you're a woman, and there's this nice handsome guy, and you know the story. It's a short story, actually. the point I'm trying to make is that she brings up that problem and brings up the solution to that problem. And then she brings up her specific solution, which is why her class makes a difference. Now, a postcard is very little space to educate. A website has more space. Brochures have more space. So you'll see in that brochure, there's a very comprehensive education.